This is Jeff Farias, live on the Nova M Radio Network.
Welcome aboard, folks. It's Friday night. It's February the 9th. It's the first day of the Malloy family vacation. That means I'm sitting in tonight here on the Mike Malloy Show. My name is Jeff Farias. Lots and lots of things to talk about tonight, folks. There is so much non-Anna Nicole-related news to convey to you. I'm sure we'll have no problem filling up the 3 hours. I want to go on record right off the top. I am not the father of Anna Nicole's child. You can take my name off the list. I'm going to go right up front. Take my name. I'm not one of them. I'm one of the only people in America not making that claim, but I'm proud to make it right at the outset. So many things to tell you about tonight. And as always, when I'm on the air, my favorite kind of radio is caller-driven radio. So the phone lines are going to be open all 3 hours. Whatever's on your mind, just give us a call. Let us know. There are so many things happening in the news. The Pentagon report dealing with Doug Fife, the fact that Elie Wiesel was attacked, yanked off an elevator in San Francisco by a Holocaust denier, unbelievable. There's the Nancy Pelosi airplane story, which is just ridiculous, beyond belief. So many things going on out there. I got a whole bunch of audio to share with you as well. The Libby trial, some interesting stuff coming up there. I got a few funny little pieces here. I think I'm going to open up with a clip, actually. I just heard this a few minutes ago, and it just tickled me. Democratic Congressman Anthony Weiner from New York was just on the floor of the House. I found this over at Atrus's website, and it's about a four-minute clip, but it's just great. I want you to hear it. It put me in a great mood when I heard it, and I want to share it with you right off the bat. And I tell you, I'm going to try and keep the call times, the wait times as slow as little as possible on all the callers. So if you get in here, I'll get you through quick. There won't be any hour-long waits tonight, folks. So just give me a call. Want to hear what's on your mind? But here's Anthony Weiner, a Democrat from New York, on the floor of the Senate, talking about the whole Nancy Pelosi plane issue and bigger issues in general. The
gentleman from New York is recognized for 5 minutes.
Mr. Speaker, this can't possibly be the best they've got. This can't be. I cannot imagine that a party that governed for the last 12-some-odd years, who had a Congress that met less days than the do-nothing Congress, who wasted billions of dollars in Iraq war doing no oversight, drove up the deficit to record heights, wasted Homeland Security funds, can't possibly be that the best that party has is to now devote an afternoon talking about the security arrangements for the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives. Well, let's talk a little bit about what we have. Putting aside for a moment, which apparently is what the other side wants, putting aside for a moment the bill we're here to debate, which is a way to improve energy programs with existing infrastructure, and I can guarantee my colleagues will be lining up to take advantage of that program. We have, in the first 100 hours in this Congress, raised the minimum wage. We have lowered the cost of people to send their children to college. We have implemented the 9/11 Commission report. We have moved through an agenda with efficiency to get things done for the American people. And now what my colleagues on the other side is they want to have an argument with the White House over the appropriate arrangements for the Speaker. Now look, I'm sure that my good friends on the other side are so detached from reality that they think this is what the American people want to work on. This is a party that squandered the leadership that they had. Now the Republic Party is in the minority for the foreseeable future. The Republic Party is so completely bankrupt of any ideas of their own, they've taken to bringing up 3 hours of discussion and a debate between the White House and themselves about what kind of security the Speaker should have. The Republic Party is in the minority party not only for this reason, but this is one of it. And then to make it worse, the members that the Republican Party sends over can't possibly be the 18. This can't be the best. This can't be the most articulate, most informed voices of the Republican Party, can it? This is it. I was in my office and I heard a member of the Republican Party, and you'll correct me, Mr. Speaker, if I'm wrong, complain that he had to sit in a middle seat. No, not a middle seat. Complain that he had to eat peanuts on his flight. I don't even know what this is about. But let me tell you what the American people are interested in. They're interested in the idea that, like Damocles' sword, global warming is now hanging over the head of all of us. All of us, Republican or Democratic, even the Republican Party must be concerned about that. We have had thousands of scientists that have reached a consensus. In fact, I certainly will be glad to yield.
Well, I thank the congressman from New York for yielding, but don't you think a jet that is a 757 can seat 42 people by one person is contributing to global warming?
Gentleman from New York controls the time. Gentleman from New York.
Reclaiming my time. You know, even those members of this panel, that these scientists that took a look at global warming, global climate change, 90% of them, a record level of consensus, say that human causes are to blame. We are not going to leave it to the Republican Party to solve this problem. They're in the minority. They're probably in the permanent minority if they're going to spend their time obsessing about security arrangements for the Speaker and disagreeing with the President of the United States, a spokesman. But we are. Nancy Pelosi, this party, is going to do something about global warming. We're not going to wait for the Republican Party to join in. This, just the same way we said we were going to increase the minimum wage, the same way we said we were going to increase safety by implementing 9/11 Commission reports, the same way we said we were going to reduce college costs for American middle class and those striving to make it. That's what we're going to do. You can have this debate all you want about the security arrangements for the Speaker, but we're going to go about doing the job of the American people. That's why the Democratic Party is in charge, not the Republican Party. And I yield back.
Oh, I love that. The Republican Party. Somebody finally coined the phrase. Somebody finally put it out there. I hope they like their dosage. I really do. Again, more like this gentleman, Anthony Weiner from New York, Democrat from New York. Please, more like him stepping up and making those claims. That was just wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Congressman Weiner. You certainly livened my day up. And again, hit it on the head. While Iraq is in flames, while global warming hangs over our head, so many problems to deal with, so many revelations every day about the malfeasance, corruption, incompetence of this administration, and the Republicans want to talk about who's got a bigger plane, Nancy Pelosi or Dennis Hastert. Unbelievable. Hey, let's go to the phones. Our good buddy Sarge in Mississippi is holding on there. Sarge, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, how are you, Jeff?
I'm feeling pretty good, buddy.
Man, I tell you what, I'm disappointed you're not going to be able to make the trip, but I'm glad you're going to be there to man the station anyway.
Well, way too much stuff going on in here in town for me to go, and we had a number of people step up to be drivers, so we had it covered. It just made sense for me to hang here. I'm sorry, I'm not going to get down there to meet you in person, but we'll have to do that another time.
Well, I'm tickled to death about meeting Sean. That guy's just—I'm impressed with him. He is a wonderful man.
Yeah, we're gonna have a blast here tomorrow. It's sort of the culmination on our end of our Mississippi mission. We're having a sort of event here at the station, inviting our listeners to come on and help us load up those trucks and give them a proper send off. And we're just thrilled. The Associated Appliance truck came by today, just chock full. I mean, the thing was really full from front to back of washing machines, dryers, all kinds of appliances that we loaded into the first truck, so we're just thrilled.
Well, you know, when I talked to Jim, mm-hmm. I mean, Jim and I have been fighting this thing since, for a long time before anybody was ever paying attention, and I have never in my life seen that man as happy as he is right now, because believe me, this has put a new spring in his step.
It's just
picking him up, and it's spreading, you know, it's spreading, and that's why I'm telling everybody, just because it ends for this part of it doesn't mean the whole thing's over, because anybody that wants to do something like this, all they have to do is contact me at unreportednews.net, and we'll start working again.
That's right. We got a template now. It's Sean put a lot of work into this thing, but it's the community that really stepped up, and so it's not a difficult thing to mount if you're just willing to put in the time and get around there to do some pickups. It was amazing how quickly it came together. The U-Haul people were quick to step up. The mobile mini people. It's just been an amazing event. Hey, Sarge, give one quick plug for your website before we go. I hear the music playing.
All right, unreportednews.net.
All right. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you, Jeff.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. There's our good buddy Sarge down there, unreportednews.net. Hey, I'm going to have a piece on unreportednews.net. Our friend Billy Shears has a segment over there. Just go to UNNBillyShears, SHEARS.net. I'm going to be contributing. He's having different people contribute a piece of music, and then a sort of little, you write a couple paragraphs about what that music means politically or socially to you, and a piece that I did on a Richard Thompson song is going to be featured next week over on Billy's site. So I do encourage you to check out unreportednews.net and check out Billy's section of the website. And hey, we'll be right back, folks. It's the Mike Maloey Show. I'm Jeff Farias, subbing in here tonight on the Nova M Radio Network. I haven't even given out the phone number yet, and I got a full board of callers. 1-800-989-1480. If you're listening to us out there, give us a call. We'll be right back.
How long can this go on? Somebody, you know right from wrong.
We are back. It's the Mike Maloey Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Jeff Farias, subbing in for Mr. Maloey this evening as he embarks on his winter vacation. Lots of things going on. What kind of man is Ted Haggard? Well, apparently a heterosexual man now. Just 3 weeks in Arizona did it for him. 3 weeks was his rehab. It's quite incredible. As always, the Daily Show, right on the money, in terms of Haggard and his rehab. Let me play you this short clip, and then I'll jump right back on the phones. I really...
Ted Haggard, the evangelical preacher who, as you know, was caught doing meth and dudes. The Denver Post is reporting that he is now completely heterosexual. He went through a 3 week very intensive course. A lot of people would say, well, how did they do it? How did they turn this clearly gay man into a heterosexual? It's very simple. You know when you were a kid and your father caught you smoking? And then he decided to make you smoke a carton.
So that's John Stewart on the money. Let's get back to the phones. Hey, here's the deal. Caller driven for 3 hours. I want to know what's on your mind. There's a lot of stories to discuss. I got a lot of clips to play for you, but I want to hear from you. And right now, I got a full board of callers. 1-800-989-1480. I'll take the calls in the order I receive them. So first up is Leonard here in Phoenix. Leonard, welcome back to the program.
Hi, sir. I'll make it quick. I know you have a lot of callers on the very popular Mike Maloey Show, and thanks, Jeff, for filling in.
My pleasure.
Hey, I also want to put a hello out there to Sergeant UnreportedNews.net. He was feeling under the weather. We got to make sure he's eating plenty of chicken noodle soup and not the kind supplied by Halliburton. We don't want that. But anyways, I'm just calling to let you know I went down with my good friend, Mr. Crum, today, mm-hmm. who accepted being the treasurer of the now official recall committee on Senator John McCain. And basically, in about 99 words and less, we summed up the reasons why we believe Senator John McCain, Bloody John McCain, should be recalled. And nitty-gritty is he doesn't believe in habeas corpus. He is a relativist. He's a populist of the worst sort because he only appeals to people's popularity. Today he's a conservative. Tomorrow he'll claim to be a liberal. Also, thirdly, for the surge, not providing a strong check and balance in the Senate, as he should do with it under his constitutional duties. So the Secretary of State said that they're going to try to put it out on their site. But we will be getting petitions printed off. We need to get a bank account set up, but to print off those petitions, and we need to show the people of the world, not just Arizona, that John McCain and John Himmler Kyle do not speak for us. So that's the main thing, because the doomsayers are saying, well, he's a federal official. It's never been done before. But in our country's history, this is the first time in probably 160 years we've really seen some real threats to our existence of our country.
Right.
So I'm just calling in to say, you know, maybe hopefully we recall Senator McCain. We can have him, you know, go ahead and volunteer to take the place of one of my fellow soldiers going to Iraq in the great surge that he advocates, just so he can get elected as president. You know, so maybe that'll save one more soldier's life.
Hey, hey Leonard, I can't believe I'm saying this, but you might want to reach out to some people in the Republican Party here in Arizona, because I know
I
know Randy Paul. I know they just elected a state party chair, very hostile to John McCain, and there are a lot of people who do not like Mr. McCain in the Republican Party. So if you got one of those folks on your as an officer on your committee as well, I know Bill Crum is an independent. He's not a Democrat by any means. So
right.
if you had a good fiery Democrat like yourself, an independent and a Republican on board this committee, I think you'd get a lot more attention for it.
We're looking for that, and it's not. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up. It's not a Democrat thing or a Republican thing or a Libertarian, whatever. It's an Arizonan and an American thing. We want to be able to tell our grandchildren we didn't let Senator John McCain, the man who believes in torture and stood by and let the king take over, that we were going to be intimidated 60 years from now. We'll be able to proudly say, you know, when they finally came for us, you know, we weren't one of the people that waited. So
right.
I'm just encouraging everybody out there to call into our official phone number, 602-423-6300. Or right now, until we get our website set up, my email, leonardclark385@hotmail.com. We're going to need volunteers. Even if you're not in the state of Arizona, you can help us. We need to send a message. This will be a referendum, not just on habeas corpus and standing up in Congress. It'll be a referendum on the war. Mr. McCain does not speak for Arizona, for all of you listening out there. There's a lot of us who think differently from Bloody John. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thanks a lot, Leonard.
Truth to power, buddy.
Bless you for all your work, buddy. Thanks a lot. Hey, I'm Jeff Farias filling in for Mike Malloy here. My show's called Truth to Power. Check out the truthtopowerhour.com. That's my website. We'll be right back after these messages with more of your phone calls.
For me, got to keep behind you, yeah. Get behind the mule, the morning and plow. Get behind the mule.
That's right.
In the morning and plow.
Liberty takes vigilance, folks. Democracy takes a lot of work. You need to get on these congresspeople and senators and let them know what you think. Leonard's got the right idea. He's unhappy with John McCain. He's doing something about it. He's trying to recall the man. It may not work, but it's going to get a lot of people talking about John McCain and what he's doing out here and what he's doing to this country. The congressional switchboard, the main line, you call this 800 number and just tell them who you want to get to. You can get to any congressional office, senators or representatives, at 1-800-828-0498. I encourage you to participate in this democracy. I got a full board of callers. I'm going to get right to it. If you hear someone drop off, then it's your chance to call back in at 1-800-989-1480. Up next is Joy over there in Santa Cruz. Joy, welcome to the program.
Hi there, and God bless Leonard for what he's doing, and God bless Noah M. for helping these people in Mississippi.
Thank you.
But I was calling because I heard something on Countdown tonight with Keith Olbermann that really got me to sit up. He was talking with a political analyst about this draft Gore meeting that they were having in Boston.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we've all heard about that. But then he shared with this analyst this story that when he interviewed Gore last year, when Gore came on Countdown, that after the interview, one of the technicians on his show approached Al Gore and said, if we ask you really, really, really nicely, will you please run? And Al Gore looked at him and said, oh, all right.
Interesting.
And then Keith said, he looked up to the control room and said, am I still rolling? Are we still rolling? And Al Gore gave him this look like, oh, my gosh, have I been caught.
Interesting.
It is. It's a bit of a bombshell.
I hope he does run, and I hope he's smart enough to lay out of this thing until, you know, the fall sometime, because it's way too early for a presidential race, in my opinion. I can't believe that, you know, on November 8th, they are already full bore into the 08 election, you know.
I know. It's just, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. And so I hope, if Gore's smart, he'll hang out. You know, he'll go and collect an Academy Award. He'll,
A Nobel Prize.
A Nobel Prize, and then say, hey, you know what? Maybe I should get in this thing. These people are just beating the heck out of one another. I think he'd be a shoo-in. He already won once, you know. So.
He did, and I think he'd be a shoo-in too. I think a lot of people feel that he should have been president.
Yep.
And we feel that this election was stolen. And the other thing, I was talking to my mom about this, and she said he's the only candidate out there who can restore a reputation in the world.
Right. Yep. Yeah, it's true. That's true. He's a known quantity to most of the world, most of the, you know, for his 8 years in the Clinton White House.
Right.
A lot of the vice president's job is as an ambassador of the White House. He was involved in a lot of different, and through his work on global warming and on energy issues and on the internet and all these, you know, being on the leading edge of technological issues. He's somebody who is respected throughout the whole world. And boy, wouldn't that be a change of pace.
Oh, and he was against the war before anybody else was.
And he was very vocal about it as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And against torture and against, removing habeas corpus. I mean, he's spoken a lot on these issues, and he's somebody I could trust as president again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think he could restore trust. And again, the next president, besides trying to fix our economic woes and the war we're in, our next president's one of their biggest jobs is going to be restore America's position of leadership in the world
and
restore respect in this country. And I think Gore, as far as I'm concerned, he's the man for the job. I like Al Gore a lot.
Same here. Same here.
Yep.
Run, Al, run,
yep.
Please.
Thanks a lot for your call, Joy.
Okay,
bye. Have yourself a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Let's go to, who's up next in the big box? Don in Phoenix. Don, welcome aboard.
Hey, how you doing again?
I'm doing good, buddy.
Oh, boy, I got chills listening to the last clip with that you were talking. Was it Weiner that was doing
Weiner,
that?
Weiner, Congressman Anthony Weiner from New York.
Oh, man, that brought back memories of when Jerry Garcia was still alive, getting chills. when did that happen today?
It was today on the floor, yeah. They were still trying to, you know, drag out this Nancy Pelosi's got a bigger plane than Denny Hassert thing. And so he stepped up to just say, is this the best you people have? So, yeah, I thought it was great.
I've never heard anybody take back their time either and say no and argue with somebody. That was great.
Well, yeah, he gave him the time, thought maybe he had something serious to say, and it was just some ridiculous remark about it, how bigger planes are bad for global warming, you know. All right, my time back. And that's when he really started in the Republic Party. I was loving that, man.
Oh, he said Democratic Party and then the Republic. Oh, yeah. I was just laughing.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to get on the internet today to listen to to see what happened on the front pages, but that was funny.
Yeah, well, that was over on Atreus's website at Eschaton, so you might want to go check that out. He had the whole clip up there, and yeah, it was wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, you have a nice evening now.
Thanks a lot.
That brought back a lot of hope for me.
Thanks, Don. Have a good one. Let's go to Toby, also in Phoenix. Toby, welcome aboard.
Hey, Jeff. I was there last Friday when you had Brad.
Yes, yes.
And I thought he was great. I thought he was great on the air. But you're going to have to teach him something.
Oh, I just heard that, too. I know what you're going to say.
Yes, he used Democrat Party.
Yeah, but he fixed it at the end of within the same paragraph. He corrected himself. He was talking about. He was talking about how here in Arizona the election integrity movement had integrated itself within the Democrat Party. And then he said, and they're part of the Democratic Party leadership now. And he kind of, not necessarily corrected, but he said it right within the same paragraph. So I was like, I actually yelled something out. The people in the room next door are like, hey, what are you? Billy and Kim are next door running the board, and they're like, what are you yelling about? I'm like, I can't believe Brad just said Democrat Party. What the hell?
Yes, but I'm glad now to hear the Democrats are giving it back.
They're
to them.
Fighting back, yeah.
Yes. Very good. You have a great show, and thank you for all you do.
Thanks, Toby. Good talking with you.
Yeah.
Let's go to Matthew in Bedford, Texas. Matthew, welcome aboard.
Hey, Jeff. Listen, this election is going to be very important for me. It's going to be the first election I get to vote in. So,
all right.
If Gore can run, run. And when you think about it, if he can think about it, and I'm sure he has, if he does run for president, he's going to have quite a bit on his plate, because he literally is going to be saving this country.
Yep. And the planet on many levels, you know. It's sort of a cliche. He wants to save the world, but, you know, if he's serious about global warming and he's serious about doing something about this, what better way than President of the United States to actually affect some real change? So.
Oh, yeah. We saw him here in Texas. We did see him at the Nokia Theater, and that we also saw Bill Clinton yesterday, or I did.
Oh, Bill was part of all right.
And it's amazing to me because when you think about it, Texas is not resounded or known as the most Democratic state in the union. Mm-hmm. And to put it quite frankly, most people here don't really want there to be a union.
Right. The Republic of Texas.
Yeah. I'm not too thrilled about that. But there was hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, at least a couple thousand people in the theater, and they were just loving every second. I mean, they were hanging on every word of either Gore last year or Clinton
mm-hmm.
yesterday.
Interesting.
It was just, you know, one of the most refreshing things I have ever seen, and it really gives me good hope for this democracy to keep working because, I mean, when you think about the, especially this area, Bill Clinton, most people prefer to blame any Democrat for all the world's problems.
Right.
So it was just really, really nice to see so many people coming out to see one of the last, at least, halfway intelligent presidents we've had in this union or in this country. Not that I don't have my complaints about him, but, you know, listen, you can't argue with the result.
He's a very articulate, very bright, very charismatic man. My younger brother is a Republican, lives back east in Boston, of all places, for Republican. And he actually was at a meeting one time, and Clinton was there, and he said, you know, I got to admit, the guy walked into the room, and he has a presence. He goes, he glows. You know what I mean? He just has something about the guy that people are drawn to, and he has that it, whatever that quality is, that makes someone a leader, you know?
Oh, yeah. And, hey, about McCain, I'm 17. I'm not fooled by him. So, if I'm not fooled by him, why are, you know, so many people?
Yeah, the Republicans don't have much right now. I mean, if they're planning on McCain or Giuliani to step with this thing, boy, guys have a lot against working against them. So they're going to have a tough time in 08.
If Gore runs, you know, Republicans beware. If he doesn't win in a landslide, then I'm going to be so surprised.
Yeah, I agree. Matthew, thanks for giving us a call, and it gives me hope there's someone of your age getting engaged politically. Don't let him beat you down. Don't get discouraged. Stay active and get involved in the party if you can.
As the song goes, I won't back down.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot, Matthew.
All right.
Take care. Bye. We're about ready. I don't know if I have enough time for another caller, so let's get it to the break here a little bit early. We'll jump back on the calls when we get back. I hate to get a call in and just give them 60 seconds and go away. So we're going to jump off to a break, and we'll be right back.
I'm glad I came, but just the same, I must be going. La la.
But I think you must stay. If you should go away, you promised Poppy I am going.
I'll stay a week or two. I'll stay in the summer through, but I am telling you, I must be.
Yeah. I look around, and all I see are politicians on the tick. I look at me, I am the same, but I don't notice. And I have learned that everybody has a price tag on his head. So it's money that will make the monkey dance. This is money that will make the monkey dance. And yes, and it's money that will make the monkey dance. Yes, it's money that will make the monkey dance.
That's right, it's money that'll make the monkey dance, my friends. It always comes down to the money. How many of you heard of Uncle Bucky? George Bush's uncle, William H.T. Bush, or Bucky Bush, part of a group of outside directors at a defense contractor, oddly enough, who realized about $6 million in unauthorized pay from an options backdating scheme, according to the SEC. Charges are being filed. They cannot confirm any specific wrongdoing, but it's a little kind of slimy, pulling $6 million out of money that was not approved by shareholders. That's par for the course for the Bush crime family. Let's get back to the phones. Tim in Phoenix has been holding quite a while. Tim, welcome.
Oh, yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing this morning, this afternoon, this evening? Today.
Well, you know, there's been something that's been bothering me for like months and months, and it has to do with our troops over there in Iraq. And, mm-hmm. and I saw the same kind of deal from my friends that came back from Vietnam. I didn't serve in Vietnam, but my friends that came back were changed people. They and the ones that didn't come back, of course, what can you say about that? But there seems to be a situation of it's like a gang warfare over there. You know, in the absence of a clear purpose, our troops are reduced to, you took one of mine, I'm taking two of yours.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's like, and it's like you got the Shia gang, the Sunni gang, the American military gang, and it's
Even denser than that. There are competing Shia gangs that are working, and there are Baathists, and then there are Sunni groups. We don't know who we're fighting over there, and that's part of the problem. We're just walking around in uniforms, very easily identifiable, with targets on our backs, and they're not.
Everybody over there is a target.
Right.
Anybody carrying a gun is a target.
Right.
It's like someone's carrying a gun. If they're not wearing the same uniform as you, you kill them before they kill you.
Right.
And how can you expect our American brothers and sisters to exist in that situation? If they think that Saddam Hussein has something to do with 9/11, I'm thinking that that might be just a psychological grasping at straws, you know, for them to justify what is going on over there.
Right. Yeah.
I almost don't blame them for being ignorant about that.
Right. There is certain you it's hard to believe that you're over there for nothing, and I think it's part of what keeps the troops going is the notion that there is a noble cause to what they're doing, but more and more of them seem to be dropping off. What was it, 1,200 active duty troops signed the petition for redress to try and end this occupation. So, you know,
that's all a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, they are starting to find the means to step up and speak out. Hopefully more of them will be emboldened to do that.
Well, in closing, I will say that I think that Nancy Pelosi probably has a bigger one than Denny has. So.
At least you can probably still see hers without a mirror. So, yeah.
Well, thank you, and God bless you, and good night.
Thanks a lot, Tim. I appreciate your call. Let's go to Leanne in San Diego. It's Leanne. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Good. Good to speak with you again.
Thanks for being on. Yeah, I wanted to talk about this Edwards thing and the bloggers.
Yeah, with Donahue, right?
It's just amazing to me how early on they are swift-boating John Edwards.
Right.
And I think it's because they really are afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say I think now Democrats and progressives really need to go on the attack because it's starting this early in the election cycle. You know that they're going to be downright dirty.
Yeah.
And I would call all the Catholics out there. I was born and raised a Catholic. I would like to first applaud John Edwards for not firing those bloggers.
Yeah, again, yeah. Much to his credit, he did not buckle under their
made-up
scandal.
I'll tell you, I think Edwards is a fighter, and I don't think that he's going to put up with any garbage from these people.
Yep.
So I would say, you know, if they're going to start this stuff early on, we got to start attacking and not go on the attack back, but go on the offensive. Start calling out all the creeps on television, the Glenn Becks. Like today, I called ABC, and I left a message with their comment line. I said, I want him off of your network. I'm refusing to buy any of your products, and I'm going to tell as many people as I am to boycott your show.
Right.
Get on the offensive and start calling these people Limbaugh, Hannity, all of them out for what they are, liars and pigs.
And if I can, you know, recommend use the Spocko technique. Go after their advertisers. Send letters to their advertisers saying, is this, is this the kind of thing that you support? Is this kind of hateful rhetoric? There's a million Glenn Beck clips you can pull where he's being a racist or an idiot of some sort and say, is this what, you know, Procter & Gamble stands behind?
Right, but it's amazing to me the way they demonized Edwards. I mean, he hasn't done anything, and the filth and the garbage that they spew every day, and then they go on the attack on this guy.
Right. And he's got a big house, apparently. That's a really bad thing.
Right. They're just picking at anything, and I really want to just say that we really need to applaud him for not buckling in, because, you know, with Kerry was more of a buckler, but I really think John Edwards would be a fighter.
And I think Edwards saw firsthand what that gets you in the long run. He saw inside that campaign how every time they tried to buckle or lay back, it hurt them, you know. So
right. Well, I tell you something. This time, if they started again, they're going to be really cruising. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
We're not going to get. We are going to fight them this election.
Yeah,
cycle.
I think people are waking up to it. I really do. Yep.
Well, thanks so much for what you do. I really appreciate your show. I listen all the time.
Well, thanks, Leanne. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care
now.
Bye.
Let's go to my friend Bill here in Phoenix. Bill, welcome aboard.
Hey, partner.
How you doing tonight?
You know, I still can't believe that Jerry Garcia is dead.
Oh,
and I can't believe they're still working James Brown. I'm so glad I gave my sign to Leonard. Leonard, you carried my sign. I will carry your petition.
All right. All right.
And the ticket that I would definitely support is Gore Barr. Both of those gentlemen, I told you before, Jeff, they made me very proud.
Who is the VP you were saying? Gore and who?
Barr, the gentleman that gave the Democratic response.
Webb, Jim Webb.
Webb, I'm sorry.
You threw me there for a minute.
I'm sorry. Thanks for bringing me back.
Yeah, no, Jim Webb's great. I think, you know, we got a really good crop of candidates this time. I think Edwards is really strong. I think Obama could be a strong candidate. He's still a little young to tell, but yeah, I think the future of the Democratic Party looks bright.
When those two guys mention our founders, I feel it's genuine.
Right.
And that's the politics that I want to see this nation get back to.
Yeah.
That genuine feeling of what America was, you know, how the founders felt about it.
Right.
We're so far away from that dream.
That's true. Yeah, we've strayed pretty far from the basics of the Constitution. You know, call them corporatist, call them fascist, whatever you will, but I feel more hopeful today than I did 4 months ago. I think the election in 06 made a big deal. Hopefully, the Democrats can play this smart and show some spine and give people a reason to vote for them rather than against the lesser of two evils. So
I'm sure better days are coming, Jeff.
I hope so, buddy.
See you soon.
Thanks for your help, Bill.
Bye.
Take care. Hey, it's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Jeff Farias. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number. We got Joe in Jacksonville, another caller coming in. We got a few phone lines opened up, so if you were trying to get in earlier and couldn't, well, now's your chance. Hop on aboard, folks. We'd love to talk to you. It's Caller Driven Radio for the next 2 hours. I'll be right back after these important messages. Yes, a little touch of Nilsson in the night. Poor bastard. Harry Nilsson. one of the giants out there in music biz. Hey, it's the Mike Malloy Show right here on Nova M Radio. My name's Jeff Farias, sitting in here at our Phoenix flagship station. Check us out at NovaMradio.com. We're also on XM Radio. No, Sirius Radio. I'm sorry, we're negotiating with XM Radio, apparently. You can hear us on Sirius on Talk Left channel. Very excited about that. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number here. Our history as a station and network is a very young history, but a very tumultuous one. Back in the end of February of last year, we lost our station. We're coming up on our one-year anniversary. And a month later, we got a station back together. And a few months later, we started a network. I met a whole bunch of people during that month of March last year. When we were trying to get our station back on the air, we had reached out. And met some folks up in Madison, Wisconsin. There's a particular fellow by the name of Aldous, who was a great help to me, just sort of talking and networking and getting people, directing people to our cause. And then Madison lost their station, or was about to lose their station. A bunch of people, Aldis was one of them, got involved and protested and petitioned and manages to keep a progressive radio in Madison, Wisconsin. And they decided to start a group called Nonstop Radio, a kind of just a support group that goes out there, tries to help community building and people who are trying to, A, bring progressive radio to their towns, and B, you know, maintain a progressive radio voice in their towns. So Aldis is starting a new group, and they sent me a little promo that he put together. So I'm just going to play this. It's just a 30-second promo. I'm going to try and sneak it in somewhere else during my programming. But I just want to get that out there. They're starting a new website. They're trying to rally people to their cause. So here's all this is a 30-second promo.
You are listening to Progressive Talk Radio, which means you are one of the lucky ones. Across the country, people have been losing their progressive talk stations, and there are many more who've never had the privilege of listening to an alternative point of view. This cannot stand, and we know you won't let it. Go to nonstopradio.com to see what you can do to help secure the future of progressive talk. Nonstopradio.com.
Check them out, folks. It's a very, very worthy cause. Hey, it's a caller-driven radio whenever I'm on the mic. So I want to get right back to the phones. It looks like a pretty much a full board of callers here. Let's go to Joe in Jacksonville. Joe, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Jeff?
Yes, that's me.
Hey, Jeff, it's really good to talk to you. First of all, I want to tell you that the pre-screening is great. I mean, you take all the calls. I love that. You know, I mean, usually I called a couple of Republican talk shows, and they want to know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good that you field anything. One thing I wanted to say is I had a few friends of mine who lost their lives on September 11th, mm-hmm. and I wonder why it is that nobody really seems to continue to talk about or really push this administration about what they want to do about Osama bin Laden, who I think is the culprit of this real war on terror. And I feel that, you know, it seems strange to me that, you know, we're so bogged down in Iraq, and now our resources are depleted. You know, now this guy, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, they're getting stronger. And I'm just wondering, how come they're not really pushing him or putting the coals to his fire and really trying to try to, you know, get something out of him as to what his real hope or goal is for the real murderer of, you know, 3,000 Americans.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, I think at one point the FBI even dropped him from the most wanted list. You got to wonder how serious they are about catching bin Laden. And it also leads to a lot of questions as to, you know, how reliable is their information about what actually happened on 9/11 and what was bin Laden's role in it. I work with a group out here. Here in Arizona, there's a very, very vibrant 9/11 accountability group. And that's the term they're using these days. And actually, we're mounting a big conference this month out here, February 23rd through 25th out here in Chandler, Arizona.
Wow.
We got Alex Jones and Professor Stephen Jones from Utah, Webster Tarpley.
I'm sorry. Is there a website or something like that?
Yeah. Go to 911accountability.org, and it lays out the whole. I'm actually emceeing the conference. It's a 3-day conference. All kinds of speakers are going to have a movie marathon. Movies running nonstop of all the 9/11 movies. They got a bunch of the directors of some of the 9/11 movies.
I want to see the mainstream press pick this up and just start really hammering away at this administration.
Yep.
Because, we had a world that was at our feet.
Yep.
They totally. And when was the last time people sympathized for Americans?
Yep. But, we had Iranians. Tehran sent soldiers into Afghanistan to help us go after the Taliban. Iran. You know. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Well, Jeff, I really appreciate what you're doing, and that promo you had. I laugh at this. You know how we get slammed for this this liberal bias in the media. When man, we got a beg, borrow, and steal to get a progressive radio station or radio talk show going.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, there's I don't know, something like 40,000 hours of right wing talk radio, and only about 4,000 of liberal. So, you know, there's a big discrepancy.
You're absolutely right. Well, listen, you keep up the fight. I really appreciate your show.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Thanks for giving the call.
No problem.
Good talking to you. Let's go over to Brian in Portland. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Great show.
Thank you. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I just want to talk about, I haven't heard anybody bring up the reason I feel that there will be no chance that Gore will run.
What's that?
It's, I can't imagine that Gore would run against Hillary in the primary.
Well, you know, Gore, when Gore ran, he ran away from the Clintons. He didn't bring Clinton out for any of his. I don't think they're necessarily on the best of terms following Al Gore's first presidential run in 2000. So you know, I don't think he'd be afraid to challenge her.
You know, I just can't imagine that, you know, that the Clinton camp would allow. I still think that there's got to be some kind of tit for tat there.
Yeah.
What have you heard about them not being on the best of terms?
Al Gore, you know, he was widely criticized for this by a lot of people, strategists, pretty much after the fact, that he did not. Bill Clinton he ran away from Bill Clinton when he ran in 2000. Clinton didn't do any stumping for him. Didn't have him on any campaigns. He considered Clinton a liability at that point. He was trying to distance himself from the whole impeachment and the Monica Lewinsky and the tainting of Clinton. And he thought maybe, you know, if he just didn't want to attract all of that heat that Clinton drew from the right wing, and he was trying to run as more of a moderate, and I think the Clintons were offended by that. So,
well, that honestly sounds like smart politics to me at the time, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think there's very much love lost between the two at this point.
Right, you know, I just feel that, you know, Gore had his shot. You know, Hillary's been planning this for, you know, since she was
4 years old. Yeah,
of course, you know, yeah. and you know, they have. The only way the Clintons could see this is perhaps, you know, the Gore-Clinton ticket, which that's never going to happen.
Right, right.
You know,
but
a Gore-Obama ticket sure sounds great. But thanks a lot. Great show.
Oh, thanks a lot, Brian. Yeah, I think, you know, I think we get a lot of really strong candidates. And, you know, nobody talks enough about Dennis Kucinich, but I think he is a very viable candidate. You know, I just what he stands for is what I stand for and what I believe. So I would love to see people gravitate to him as well. Let's go to Don, driving in L.A. Don, welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening. How are you, Jeff?
Good, good. You're a trucker?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right.
It's kind of fun now with Sirius Radio that I can find intelligent conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be the lone voice in the wilderness sitting in these truck stops. I don't know if you understand the mentality, but these folks at one time were selling in major chains T-shirts that advertised Oliver North for president.
Wow.
it's right-wing world out here, but there's I find people are serious, and I tell them to try 146. I turn them on with Lynn Samuels and just kind of go from there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll clean it up a little bit, but I saw a good piece of graffiti in a truck stop stall the other day that said, would someone please give George W. a knob job so that we can impeach him?
All right, my good friend Billy across the glass here has that very bumper sticker on his on his laptop bag.
Okay, you have to.
Yeah, that's a great one.
regarding what I was calling about, and I've only heard this, I believe, on Tom Hartman, about 2 days, all this think about Nancy Pelosi's plane that she didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
That apparently she has to have, and the sergeant-at-arms says, this is the one you need, and she said, okay, I guess.
Right.
About 2 days after the State of the Union, Trump gave a speech in, Delaware, Wilmington, Delaware,
mm-hmm.
about energy conservation. 92 miles from Wilmington, Delaware to D.C., and he had to take the airport.
Wow, unbelievable, unbelievable. Well,
yeah,
you never expect
on a train.
Yep. Hey, Don, thanks a lot for your call tonight. You drive safe out there, all right? Take care. Hey, we're going to take a break. It's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Jeff Farias. We'll be right back after these messages. Hey, plenty of room for callers. I only got one caller in the queue. What's wrong with you people? Dial those phones. Get over here. There's somebody who knows what to do. John Murtha is a gentleman who certainly knows his way around the Pentagon. Murtha told the Democrats today that he has requested the complete records on President Bush and Vice President Cheney's use of government airplanes since they took office in 2001. The Republicans want to make a big deal about Nancy Pelosi's airplane and the size thereof. Well, John Murtha knows how to cut through that crap and get right to it. It should be interesting. I'm pretty sure the administration used these military jets quite a bit. For personal trips and for campaign trips, campaign stops in 04, again in 06, and in 02, which is illegal, folks. That's our money. They're supposed to use that for official government business, not for campaigning. So I'm glad Murtha has decided to slap back on this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? They want to make a big issue out of something trivial like airplanes. Let's open up the box and see what's inside, shall we? Hey, let's get back to the phones. It's caller-driven radio. When I'm behind the mic, it's Mark in Dothan, Alabama. I hope I said that right. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Good, good. Good to have you back.
I was just asking, has anybody told you guys about the march on the Pentagon on March 17th?
No, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, well, I got it off MySpace. I can't tell you a website or anything to go to, but it looks like they're trying to make it pretty big. They've got their... I can't even think of the word now. They got permits. They've already got their permits. They've got buses setting up in pretty much every state. They've got buses being set up to bring people to the Pentagon.
Wow.
To do a peace / impeach Bush march on the Pentagon.
Wow. That's awesome. March 17th, huh? All right, I'll kind of dig up whatever I can find on that. We'll make sure that gets posted here.
If you'd like to, you can send me an email at speedracer516@yahoo.com, and I will gladly send you what info I've got.
Speedracer516?
Speedracer, R-E-E-S-E-R, 516.
R-E-E-S-E-R, 516, at AOL?
At Yahoo.
Yahoo. Okay, cool. Thanks.
You're welcome. I was very glad to hear you bring up Dennis Kucinich. I've been watching him for a while now, and I think he would make a great president.
Oh, he's just a visionary. You know, he's a guy who's thinking ahead, and I just love Dennis. I love him.
He's got no corporate backing, so, right. I mean, that tells you he won't owe anybody any favors if he ever could get there.
Yep. Excellent point. Yep. Hey, thanks a lot, Mark.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Thanks for that information.
Oh, You're welcome.
March on the Pentagon, March 17th. That's going to be interesting. Let's go to Barbara in Cave Creek. Barbara, welcome to the program.
Hello.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm okay. How are you?
You know, it's always the same time of day inside this booth. So.
Yeah, you never get out.
No.
I have no idea. Well, when is are you guys still having the packing party now?
Yeah, absolutely. Tomorrow, starting, I guess, I don't know, 9, 10 o'clock, we'll be here. Okay. We got some folks from the folks from Two Men in a Truck are coming to make sure we pack the thing right and, taking a truck full of refrigerators and stoves and all that kind of stuff.
Really, I can't help you there.
right. But it's also a social event. We kind of wanted an opportunity, you know, we're kind of working on a minimal budget here, so we don't have an opportunity to throw a big party or anything like that.
I've got a toaster
oven. It's a good excuse to meet some of our listeners and have a chance to kind of get together and, put faces to those voices you hear over the airwaves all the time. So,
right. Yeah. Okay, but what I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first of all, I wanted to talk about Valerie Plame really quick.
Sure.
But I don't think it was about Wilson. I mean, they could have just said Wilson's full of it and he doesn't know what he's talking about. Because
right.
he was one man alone.
They could have said his wife is with the CIA without ever mentioning her name.
Well, not only that. No, that still would have outed her because it's a public record when you get married.
Right.
But I will tell you that they are trying, the group that Plame was with is a group that could have outed everything that Cheney and Bush are really doing with the Saudi Arabians, with the Iranians, with the Iraqis.
Right.
And
Brewster
all their connections with Halliburton.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did it on purpose to shut it down because they were getting too close to the truth.
Yeah, that's, I bet there's some validity to that. I wouldn't be surprised to find that out.
Plame was the one who told her husband that he should be the one to go.
Mm-hmm.
So he was still connected to her intelligence.
Right.
So he knew what was going on. The other thing is that Gates is trying to say that the bomb ties Iran to the Iraq extremists, okay? But how are if the Shiites are getting bombs from the Iranians, nobody's checking where the bombs that the Shiites, I mean, that the Sunnis have.
Right.
Are they coming from the Saudi Arabians who are Sunnis?
Well, I think most of the weaponry over there is coming from us.
No, I'm telling you.
You know what I mean? We left all of these munition stores caches unguarded. I don't know how many. There were so many stories like that popping out in the early days of the war. All of a sudden, they're finding an empty bunker that they used to have all these weapons stored.
In 2003, we took down our military bases in Saudi Arabia,
right.
And
which is what
all
Osama wanted. Yeah. Interesting.
So we'll talk later. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Yeah, stop by, Barbara. It'd be good to see you.
Okay, great.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
It is the Mike Malloy Show right here on Nova M Radio, 1-800-989-1480. There's one phone line available if you want to be the first to get on board. I got Betty, Robert, Gene, and Reverend Bill all holding. Oh, that's going to be a fun one. So, there we go. There's that fifth phone line. So hold your calls for now, folks. Hey, we'll be right back after these important messages. Please do hang on.
Should I hate a people for the shade of their skin, or the shape of their eyes, or the shape I'm in? Should I hate them for having our jobs today? No, I hate the men sent the jobs away. I can see them all now, they haunt my dreams, all lily white and squeaky clean. They never known want, they never known need. The shit don't stink and their kids won't bleed. Their kids won't bleed in a damn little war, and we can't make it here anymore.
Oh, that's right.
We'll work for food. We'll
James McMurtry,
for
my friend,
we'll
kill for power. My friend Kim hit me to that song. I guess he was down at Crawford for a while when she and Billy and Mari and a bunch of folks from our station, Ernie, were down there at Camp Cindy, Camp Casey, along the road in Crawford, Texas.
Whatever it takes, they can join the Air Force or join the Corps if they can't make it here anymore.
Report came out today. The Inspector General with a report about Doug Fife and his claims about the reason we went to war. Basically, their false claim concerning the connection between Saddam Hussein and Al Qaeda. I want to play Wolf Blitzer, which is the manliest name on television, interviewed Doug Fife tonight. So I'm going to play you a clip for that, and we'll talk about it.
The Inspector General of the Department of Defense says your actions were, quote, inappropriate, that you and your colleagues had a mindset to prove that there was a connection between Saddam Hussein and Al Qaeda, a connection that the intelligence community simply couldn't confirm, but you still went ahead and tried to do that to build a case for the war.
What the Inspector General is criticizing is the fact that people in the Pentagon criticized the quality of the CIA intelligence. And the Inspector General, I think, wrongly says that the criticism of intelligence was intelligence work, and it was inappropriate for non-intelligence people to do that.
But in this case, they were right that you were wrong.
No, they were not right.
There was no connection that the 9/11 Commission could come up with to show that there was a connection, a deliberate pre-war operable connection between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein.
Which nobody ever claimed.
Douglas Fife just said, nobody ever claimed there was a connection between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. I say otherwise.
There was a relationship between Iraq and Saddam and Al-Qaeda because there was a relationship between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. There was a relationship between Iraq and Saddam and Al-Qaeda because there was a relationship between Iraq and Al-Qaeda.
Honest to God, do they think we don't have videotaping? How can Douglas Fife go on national cable rate television and make a claim that nobody ever said that? Oh, my God. We've been recording voices since the 1920s. This is not new technology, folks. Unbelievable. Let's go to Betty in, is that Roanoke Park, California? I hope I said that right. Betty, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. What's on your mind this evening?
On my mind is that recently I heard there's a Nye Cunningham report that government employees who cheat, lie, corrupt anything do not get federal pensions. And I believe that since our administration has cheated, lied, and profiteered, there should be no pensions given to anyone in this administration. And that money that they would have gotten, especially profiteering, should go to help the wounded soldiers mm-hmm. and the families of those who have lost parents.
Amen to that. No kidding. Oh, my God.
But it should be a grassroots movement. I'm mm-hmm. an old woman, 85, legally blind, and my first vote was for Roosevelt years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I want to tell you, I have a lot of time to think about what's happened to this country, mm-hmm. and it's dreadful. And why should the people pay pensions to the men who did this to us? And I think,
I
hope everyone hears, there's a prediction of $700 billion to take care of wounded veterans. Let that be the pensions they don't get.
That's a great idea. You know, I'd like to go further than that, and I'd like to see them brought up on international war crimes.
Absolutely,
charges.
But at least the minimum
yeah.
is why should the people of this country pay them when they leave office?
Right. Yeah, they've already raped our treasury blind.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the poor veterans and the children of without parents are going to pay the price,
yeah.
as well as all of us. But please spread the word.
I will. That's a great idea, Betty. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have a good evening. Bye-bye. Wow. Let's go. Been voting, participating in our democracy since Roosevelt. That's just amazing to me. Still engaged. Still sharp as a tack. Still thinking forward. Bringing new ideas to the table. Thank you, Betty. Thank you for hanging on and talking to me. That made my night. Let's go to Robert in San Francisco. Robert, welcome to the program.
Yeah, with liberty and justice for all. You know, I really appreciate what you folks are up to. The 9/11 Truth Alliance has got some interesting information. Kucinich was in San Francisco a couple weeks ago and said that all the 9/11 first responders, anybody with any evidence regarding 9/11, are to contact him immediately at kucinich.us. We've had first responders come forward and say they witnessed the countdown to the demolition of Building 7. If you go to InfoWars.
Right. I just saw that this morning, actually. There was a guy who's come forward who was an EMT working inside Building 7, and he said they were warned, and there was a 20 countdown to the thing being dropped. I saw that report this morning. Give out that website again.
It's InfoWars.com.
Okay, Alex Jones' site. Right.
It's Kucinich.us. Anybody's supposed to go to Kucinich.us with the information. But
to my knowledge, he is the first elected official to actually show an interest in what's going on with the 9/11 Truth, 9/11 Accountability Movement.
That's amazing. I can tell you, I've handed him material. Dozens of people over the years have handed Kucinich and other representatives material, Woolsey, all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
They know. I mean, look at the anthrax attacks on the Congress, on the Democrats, just before the Patriot Act was to be signed.
Right,
and
right.
The PNAC people are the people that have the guilty demeanor. They're the ones that wanted more investigation. Let me make clear to the listeners, the Keene Commission never considered controlled demolition as a factor
right.
in the events of 9/11 or the U.S. Air Force exercises involving hijacked commercial airliners and planes crashing into buildings that Cheney was running on
right.
9/11.
Right. William Rodriguez. Does not appear anywhere in the 9/11 Commission report.
Guy
who was in the building on the second floor hearing explosions. The last person out of the building.
In the basement.
Yeah.
And Peter Jennings himself that day said, if you understand anything about controlled demolitions, you get at the base of the buildings. And then these EMT people said, we saw support structures blown out.
Right, yep.
I mean, all the testimony that was never looked at by the 9/11 Commission, I'm telling you, the way it happens, they don't let it go through the judicial process. They put a commission in charge to make it go away,
mm-hmm.
just like the murder of President John F. Kennedy.
Right.
I mean, if you look at Wellstone's death, look at the NTSB report. It came back and said they have no idea what caused that plane to crash.
Right,
I can
right.
tell you, my father's a commercial airliner, a pilot, and I can tell you, he has his own air service, and I can tell you, planes do not crash without cause.
Right. Yeah, I think it's Jim Fetzer, one of the people in the 9/11 movement, had written a series of papers on Wellstone's death, and he had some pretty interesting theories as to how that plane was taken down. So
we're looking into him a little bit. We're trying to keep with the Stephen Jones stuff, the metallurgy, the basically...
Mm-hmm.
No skyscraper has ever been brought down on this planet without the use of high explosives.
Right.
All the conditions of controlled demolition were met on 9/11.
Right.
Sudden onset, collapse at free fall speed into its own footprint, pyroclastic flow of this powdered dust
for miles around.
And no steel frame building has ever been brought down by fire in the history of the planet.
Never.
So, yeah, on and on and on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So send all of your information to Kucinich.us, and remember, liberty and justice for all, and truth plus justice equals peace. I mean, this whole thing, we talk about the loss of our soldiers, but imagine what the Iraqi civilization has gone through in the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a Holocaust. It truly is.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Hey, check out 911accountability.org. We're mounting a big conference here at the end of February right here in Arizona. So check it out. We got
our 9/11 people are going to be there.
All right, good, good. Well, I'm emceeing the event, so make sure you tell some people to come up and say hello.
You betcha.
All right, thanks a lot, Robert.
I know.
Let's see, who's up next? Let's go to Gene, and also in San Francisco. Got a lot of calls from the Bay Area tonight. Gene, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Jeff. I'm really upset tonight, too, again, about the Military Commissions Act and the death of habeas corpus in our country. What ticked me off is a newspaper item I read today about the Defense Department closing a so-called investigation into torture allegations against U.S. servicemen at Guantanamo. The Defense Department closed their investigation without ever interviewing the detainees who claimed they were tortured by the guards.
Wow.
The Defense Department closed the case, ruling that there was no proof of torture.
Unbelievable. You know, there's a conference out in Kuala Lumpur, I think it was last week, possibly the week before, dealing specifically with international war crimes. There's an attorney, a fellow by the name of Alfred Werby, who is on this commission. He's an international attorney. They heard testimony from people who had been held at Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib, people who had been tortured, and they are looking at ways, legal ways, to try and bring charges against this administration.
Well, you know,
in the world court.
It's not just physical torture.
Mm-hmm.
Habeas corpus itself is psychological torture.
Right.
It takes away a person's hope of due process. It takes away a defined, limited term for their incarceration. It is in itself a torture.
Well, it takes
what
away,
this military commission did by dismissing this case is also psychological torture,
right,
because they didn't even interview the people.
Right. And also, I mean, what it does is it takes away the rest of the Bill of Rights. And people
yeah.
say, oh, it only applies to foreign, you know, foreign agents. It's like, how do you prove you're not a foreign agent if you have no right to go before a judge? If you don't have habeas corpus, they can just pull you off the street and you have no way to prove you're not who they say you are. So this notion that it only applies to foreign agents or foreign enemy combatants is ridiculous. It's just impossible.
It's all of us.
Yep, and anybody is subject to it. It's you know, it's Kafkaesque to you know, use an overused term. Anyway, Gene, thanks so much for your call, and thanks for listening to the program tonight. You have yourself a good weekend. I got to go to a break. I can
great
tell by
job.
The music. Thank you. Hey, it's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Jeff Ferry, sitting in on Nova M Radio Network, 1-800-989-1480. You got one phone line open. Got Jim, John, Jackie, and Reverend Bill when we get back, folks. Hang around, will you? It's a bouncy little pop song with horns, and it's about questioning whether or not you have the mettle to face a crisis. You know, it's just amazing to me that that much sort of depth comes out of something that's great to dance to. You know, the mighty mighty Boss Tones from my home state of Massachusetts. Just my next caller, Jackie in Massachusetts. Hey, Jackie, whereabouts in Massachusetts are you?
I'm in Lowell, Massachusetts, about 20 miles north of Boston.
My college roommate lived in Lowell and a whole bunch of his friends. I used to hang out quite a bit up in Lowell, right there on the Merrimack River, home of Jack Kerouac and Ed McMahon and Betty Davis. And I love Lowell, Mass.
I didn't know that about Betty Davis.
Yeah, see that? So what's on your mind tonight, Jackie?
I'm calling in response to Deb. She had a question about where the Sunni insurgency is getting their weapons.
Right.
The Iraq Study Group, their report that they released, they said that the Saudi citizens are funding and providing weapons to the Sunni insurgency.
Wow. Interesting.
And
so our friend the Sunnis.
It infuriates me. It just infuriates me because we've seen these helicopters go down in the past 3 weeks, and it's suspected that Sunnis did do it.
Right. Well, Jackie, you know where the Saudis get their weapons from, right?
Yeah, they get them from us.
Right. Yeah. So they're buying the weapons from our own weapons to kill our sons and daughters over there in Iraq. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I have three teenagers. Well, actually, one of them's 20 years old, and they're just children over there. I know they're adults, they're young adults, but we're killing our own children over there.
Yeah. And for what?
God only knows for what. Greed. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Again, you know, the more weapons they sell, the better for the Dick Cheneys of the world and the Rumsfeld and the, you know, Wolfowitzes and the Fifes and, you know, these people who are heavily invested in the military-industrial complex. So.
Yeah. So if you want to look into it, I think it's around page 35 of the Iraq Study Group, though.
Page 35, Iraq Study Group. All right. I will check that out. Thanks so much, Jackie.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's see. Who's up next? Looks like Reverend Bill has been holding the longest. Reverend Bill, welcome to the program. What's on your mind this evening? Reverend Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am.
There you are. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was planning to cross swords with your resident atheist, Mike Malloy. Where is he tonight?
He's taking a well-deserved vacation.
Well, that's my luck. But I guess you will have to be his worthy stand-in.
I'll do my best.
Did I hear you say that you are supporting or pretty much in support of Dennis Kucinich?
I very much admire Dennis Kucinich and his courage and where he stands. Yeah, very much so.
Well, Mr. Berry, I would like to ask you a question.
Sure.
If this nation, great nation of ours, were to be overrun by heathen hordes, would you like to have a... oatmeal-eating twerp of a pacifist named Dennis as the commander-in-chief of the nation?
I sort of disagree with your characterization of him, and he's not out there, with a sword fighting them off himself. He has the full command of the military, just like any other person elected to that position.
Well, I don't think that that's the point.
Anyone is going to defend their homeland. See, we were attacked in this country. But we're not at war with the people who attacked us. And
well,
I think that's Mr. Kucinich's problem.
Now, we can debate that matter from now until next week. But what I'm asking you again, if would you want a man like that, like Dennis Kucinich, someone named Dennis, as commander-in-chief who is a pacifist, if this country were overrun by an enemy?
Now, what's wrong with the name Dennis? That's what I don't understand. You don't like the name Dennis?
Well, that's just kind of an aside.
Do you like the former speaker?
Do you want a pacifist in charge of our military if we were overrun by an enemy?
Which enemies? I'm just curious which enemy you imagine is going to overrun us.
Well, I think that eventually the Chinese will overrun this country.
So the people that the Bush administration is doing business with, the Chinese, who we used to call the Red Chinese, that's the biggest fear.
Now they're playing a chess game. Don't you understand that the game of nations? They're playing a chess game.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily a chess game. We're selling up. We're selling all the pieces.
People who trade with each other doesn't automatically friends. Don't you understand?
I understand that, and it's not so much a trade. They're loaning us all this money to fight his war and to give his rich friends tax cuts.
And they are going to come and get us one day. And do you want a pacifist to be leading our country?
I would like somebody leading our country who would try and find every way toward a peaceful resolution before starting a war based on lies. So well, I'd be very happy.
I don't think you understand the nature of reality with the enemy we are dealing with.
I don't think you understand that. Who's the enemy we're dealing with?
We are dealing with enemies who would like to overrun this great country of ours with its great resources and riches, and they are numbered. They are numbered in the dozens, probably.
Well, my understanding of this enemy is they basically just want us out of their home. They're not interested in coming over here. They just want us out of their land. And as long as we stayed out of their land, I'm sure they'd be willing to leave us alone.
I think that's an assumption which is not necessarily borne out. They have stayed out of our land because they do not have the wherewithal to attack us.
Well, they did attack us, Bill.
But if they get that wherewithal, then they will certainly do that.
But they did attack us, didn't they, Bill? I mean, this country was attacked by Saudi Arabians, but we didn't go to war with Saudi Arabia. We went to war with Iraq.
Dennis Kucinich in charge when that happened?
I sure would. Because after that time, he would have made negotiations. I got to go. Billy's giving me the countdown. We're right back.
Do you fear this man's invention that they call atomic power? We all in great confusion. Do we know time or hour? When a terrible explosion may rain down upon our land, leaving horrible destruction, blotting out the works of man. Are you ready for that great atomic power? You rise and meet your Savior in the air. Will you shout or will you cry when the fire rains from on high? Are you ready for that great atomic power?
They're coming! They're coming! The angry hordes are coming! Oh, my God. How much beer? How much beer do you need? Honestly. We can't vote for a man named Dennis because the angry hordes are coming to attack.
There is one way to escape. Be prepared to meet the Lord.
Well, how do you argue with that? How do you reason with that? There's only two kind of Republicans I've come to understand. There's the really smart ones who sell the fear, and the really dumb ones who buy it. And that's it. That's all they got. Let's go to Jim in Virginia Beach. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, I have an answer to how you argue with that. First of all, we got to remember, George W. Bush was reported to have written a paper at Yale, and it was titled, How Adolf Hitler Transformed Himself from an Elected Leader to a Dictator by Tricking the Reichstag Through the Legislative Process by Instilling Nationalism Through a Campaign of Fear of Terrorism. And it's the same thing that George W. Bush is trying to do.
That's amazing. I bet he couldn't even say that these days.
Yeah, well, you know, Bush was quoted as saying things would be simpler if America were a dictator.
Right.
He is the dictator.
Yep.
And this is the same persona whose grandfather allegedly funded the Nazi Party. He was indicted by Congress, Prescott Bush,
yep,
in 1947 for funding the Nazi Party under the Aiding the Enemy Act.
Yeah, he was tied in with international banking concerns, and absolutely, yeah, Prescott Bush was involved in that. Little-known fact, but sadly true.
Yeah.
That's part of their legacy, yep.
Yeah, you know, his father, G.H. Bush, profits from this war via Carlyle Group.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got his vice president company gets an illegal no-bid war contract. It's supposedly the only company strong enough for the job, but they filed for bankruptcy in 2000. So that's graft and collusion. I mean, that tails the Teapot Dome scandal by far.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, as a fellow called earlier, his phone dropped off, a guy named Philip who called, and he sent me an email. Apparently, Bush's, Pappy Bush's brother, Bucky Bush, or Bill Bush, is involved in some big military contracting company that skimmed $6 million off of some sort of, you know, some kind of insider trader deal that he's being investigated right now, too. So this corruption in this family runs deep, and it's been going on for a long time over here. So.
Oh, yeah. Neil Bush brokered the Dubai ports deal, and Marvin Bush was in charge of
security at the towers. Yeah, on and on and on.
Yeah, well, I have a blog on AOL called "Help Nancy Pelosi Hold Bush Accountable." I'm known as Faithful One on AOL.
Oh, all right.
And there's a wealth of information in this that people have sent me, but I have three things that I think we really need God to bless America and our environment with. And the rest of the world, for that matter. And one is the immediate censorship pending impeachment of Gone Wrong Bush,
mm-hmm,
and Dick C. Heiniosity Cheney. The second is to turn Iraq over to the UN and get out.
Right, yeah, yeah, no kidding. Iraq for Iraqis. Let them figure it out. It's going to be a mess whenever we leave.
The third is we need to apologize to America and the world for letting the office of the president being misused by a corporate fascist movement. You know, John F. Kennedy spoke at Columbia University 10 days before he was shot, and he said, the office of the president has been misused by a new world order to start implementing the forming of a one-world government, and that it was his duty to inform the American people of this. And then he got shot.
Right, yeah.
You know, all the JFK conspiracies, they never bring that one up. You know, and you got to wonder. But there's just seven simple steps that we could take that could prevent any of this mess from ever happening again in America. And I wish people would pick up their phones and call 888-355-3588, which is the Capitol switchboard, ask for their representatives, and insist that they start bills for the following seven things. One, demand politicians never get corporate funds and have to divest themselves of all corporate investments. That way you wouldn't have the oil companies starting the war and getting in there and getting billions of dollars in profits from that war. Two, we got to demand antitrust suits and break up the corporate-controlled syndicated media because they don't inform voters. Nobody knows all these facts we're talking about.
Right.
Why? It's not in the press.
Right.
You know,
they're owned by the same defense contractors, basically, the mainstream media is. Westinghouse and GE and all these weapons manufacturers pretty much control the media. So.
Yeah.
We're stuck with it, and we're stuck with it until we, you know, again, I'm
heavily
in favor of impeachment.
Break all that up.
Right, right. You would think. Yeah, you know, we got a long path ahead of us, but I think the best advice you gave was calling that Capitol switchboard and let them know we're watching. Let them know that, you know, we're going to hold them accountable. Hey, give out your website one more time, Jim.
It's Help Nancy Pelosi Hold Bush Accountable, and it's on AOL Journals. But there's just five more quick things.
Got to be real quick because I got a full board of callers here.
Okay, cool. We need to remove the profit from war by nationalizing our arms military-industrial complex. That way you wouldn't have people making billions like Halliburton.
And you wouldn't have
the got to nationalize the profits of the oil industry, and we got to cancel three orders gone wrong Bush signed. One gives them sole authority to call martial law. Two gives them the authority to use U.S. and foreign troops on our soil against our own citizen. And the third is he's taking control of the National Guard that he was AWOL from the state governors.
Right, yep.
And we need to eliminate the Electoral College and restore the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and cancel the Patriot Act.
I like all those ideas, Jim. That all makes perfect sense to me, buddy. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you for letting me speak. This is really good to see that there is still some media left with freedom of speech. I put Sandra Day O'Connor's speech on the web where she warned us to become vocal and vigilant against rising corporate fascism in the U.S., and she said it's easier to stop a dictatorship in its infancy than wait till it's... And they actually took my site down for a while. I got a virus in called ConservWatch, and it wiped out my hard drive.
Wow. Yeah, I had my website taken down a couple months ago, too, by a virus. Sometimes you get a little too close, and they don't like that. Jim, thanks a lot for your call today, buddy. I'm gonna move along, all right, buddy?
All right, thanks.
Let's go to John over in Vegas. John, welcome to the program.
Jeff?
Yes, how you doing? How you doing this evening?
This is John Neems. You played my music earlier. Thanks.
Oh, all right. Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Good talking.
Mike's been playing it, too. I had to call because of the 911 Accountability Conference, and I'm going to be coming down. The day people ask me when did I was suspicious of 9/11, the day it happened, I never bought it. And David Icke had a book in 2002 talking about remote-controlled airplanes. And I'm reading Webster Tarpley's book, I highly recommend, a 911 Synthetic Terror Made in the USA. And by the way, I'm one of the founders of Nova, so I'm
proud of you.
Proud of your station, and I'm a big fan of all of you there, and I'm looking forward to meeting you. But I wanted to touch a few things about 9/11. I mean, there's so many things about the story. It's laughable if it wasn't, you know, such a terrible thing that happened. But you look at all the facts. Number one, people have to realize that the hijackers were not, any of them, very good pilots. And to go off course with a commercial airline, you got to be a pilot. The only thing, and David Icke talked about this in 02, remote controlled airplanes is really the way it probably happened. And they can mysteriously take the controls away from the pilot, and they wouldn't have it, you know, who's ever in the cockpit then can't control it. And the military war game drills that you're familiar with, what Webster Tarpley talked about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The fact that there were war games going on dealing with the exact circumstances. I mean, you can hear there are audio tapes out there where you hear the air traffic controller saying, is this real or part of the drill?
Well, here's you mentioned something that Webster goes into. Those two in that, what you're talking about, could have been both moles. They both could have been in on it because at that time, it was obvious to anybody that you got to get the military out there.
Right,
but
right.
But if you're in on this thing, you're delaying everything as much as possible. And that's why I recommend Webster Tarpley's book so much, because he really talks, and he's a very good expert on it. He's an expert in Italy in the 80s when they had some things going.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really, the way he writes about the whole thing. But also, Controlled Demolition Incorporated took away the remains of the Oklahoma City and the towers,
and
those were demolitions anyway. I mean,
yeah.
It's like everything points to that the 911 Commission ignored everything that was important. It's just like the Warren Commission and the Kennedy assassination. Yeah. But anyway, thanks for having me on. Thanks for playing my music, Jeff, and I'll look to see you and meet you February 23rd.
Looking forward to it, John. Thanks a lot. Thanks for sending me all that great music. I appreciate
it. Yeah, doing a great job for Mike tonight. Mike's the guy, man.
We love him over here.
Yeah, you had on last hour. He wouldn't have lasted a second with Mike.
He's been with him before. Thanks a lot, John. Take care. Hey, it's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Jeff Farias right here at Nova M Radio, 1-800-989-1480. We got Jim, Alex, Terry, Faisal, another call coming in right now. We'll get to all of your calls right on the other side of the break. Back, folks. It's the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network, broadcasting tonight from beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. If you've never been to Phoenix in February, folks, you're really missing out. When I lived on the East Coast and in the Midwest, we used to refer to February as the F month. It was just the most dreary, darkest time of the year. You don't see the sun for, you know, an entire month. But boy, February in Arizona is just gorgeous. So we're encouraging people to come out here for this 9/11 accountability conference. Strategies and solutions is the theme of the conference. Moving forward, how do we get some accountability? How do we get this thing in front of the greater public? All kinds of great keynote speakers, everybody from Alex Jones and Webster Tarpley and Professor Stephen Jones, a lot of the filmmakers, Sophia from 9/11 Mysteries, and the guys from Loose Change, whole bunch of people. The list goes on and on and on. Check out 911accountability.org for the full list of all of these speakers and keynoters, and it's going to be a great event, so please do check it out. And again, Phoenix this time of year is just gorgeous. Hey, let's get back to the phones. First up, all the way up in Edmonton, Canada, is Faisal. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Faisal, welcome to the program this evening.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
A pleasure to be on with you. I'm a big fan of Mike's, and I managed to get through tonight. Usually I can't get through, but I guess you're not quite as popular, but you know what? You're doing more than a worthy job.
Well, thank you.
Okay, well, listen, I just couldn't help but tap in. And you know, first of all, first thing I want to say is I've been listening, you know, since the inception of Air America and then therefore, you know, Nova and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I stream into the right-wing programs to see what they're saying, and I can't believe, and it's so blatantly obvious to me, the gap in basic human logic, mm-hmm, between the people who call this show and this network as opposed to those who call the right-wing networks. I mean, it's like it's their way and or the highway. There's no listening to it. There's no compromise. There's no nothing.
Right, yep.
So I guess as a Sunni Muslim, I had to weigh in on the discussion today. And basically, if you allow me, the Sunni Islam, if there's approximately 1.7 billion Muslims in the world,
mm-hmm.
approximately 80% are Sunni. Sunni really is the Orthodox, part of the religion. And Shia, in Arabic, means to go to the outside, to veer to the outside. And basically, Shiites are concentrated, mostly, of course, where all the stuff is happening, in mm-hmm. Iraq and Iran. Iran is 93% Shia,
right,
and 55%. So anyways, Shiites think that the fourth ruler, the first ruler after Prophet Muhammad died should have been Ali, his cousin, and his son-in-law. But the message of Islam, of course, is that we're all brothers. And, mm-hmm. and the first ruler of Islam was somebody other than Ali, and he was elected in. So anyways, to make a long story brief, that's where the difference comes in. After Ali died, and Ali was, there was no such thing as Shia and Sunni before Ali died. When Ali died, then some people broke away from the religion. And the message of Islam, of course, is not that lineage entitles you to the ruler. It's anyways a more open elect. But
mm-hmm.
but now the rift has become, of course, a lot more obvious. And yes, the Saudis realized they made a mistake by, trumping for this war.
Right.
And now it's backfired on them. So now that they're throwing money back into the region to uphold, it's a really confusing mess. I mean, it's just right. politics by the big guys. But, you know, in the Arab world, Al-Qaeda was never, ever even discussed. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I could remember going to the Middle East back as far as 7-8 years ago. And they were saying that Al-Qaeda is an instrument of some right-wing U.S. conspiracy because nobody ever, it's like nobody ever saw any evidence of this Al-Qaeda. I don't mean to sound like...
it's interesting. There's a really interesting film called a British documentary that the BBC did called Power of Nightmares. And they do a whole, they sort of like trace back the whole history of actually they kind of, side by side, they look at the history of the neocons, which started with Leo Strauss at the University of Chicago, and also the rise of sort of extreme fundamentalist Islam, started with, I don't have the man's name in front of me, but he studied in America in Chicago, an Egyptian, and he went back and started this whole radical notion of, the two theories were very parallel. They both believed that, Western decadence was leading the world downward, and the neocons thought about more of a internally trying to clamp down and a more fascistic kind of look at American society where a wealthy elite held power over the rest, and the Egyptian was thinking that all decadence came from the West and you had to purify all Western influences to keep Islam pure, and it was just this side cult that was considered destructive by most.
The fundamentalists killing on both sides, standing in the path of peace. But tell me, why are we arming the Israeli army with guns and tanks and bullets? And if God is great and God is good, why can't he change the hearts of men? Or maybe God himself is lost and needs help. Maybe God himself, he needs all of our help. Maybe God himself is lost and needs help. He's out upon the road to peace. Maybe God himself.
We are back. It's the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. That's Tom Waits on the road to peace. I apologize for my rather graceless exit at the last segment. Billy was frantically trying to signal me. It went right by. Lucky it didn't cut out on mid-word. But I was in the middle of a conversation with Faisal up in Edmonton, Canada. Faisal is a Sunni Muslim. Faisal, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thank you. I won't take long. I know that you're a busy man. I think in the Arab and the Islamic world, I think whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans that are in power in the Senate and the House, I think that the issue of Israel is very sensitive with a lot of people. Now, I think that most Arabs and Muslims really accept the position that the United States government has taken towards the state of Israel. That's not what's up here. That what it's saying is that look, let's be even-handed in this situation. You just can't go 100% to the other side and not listen to one side.
Right.
When it comes to the issue of the Iraq war, of course they're gonna bring up and they're gonna say most of these neocons that drummed up this war just happen to be, in their words, Zionists. They're not Jewish, because if they honored the Jewish religion, of course they wouldn't be, you know, you wouldn't be doing this. And I think that has to be discussed. I mean, I'm one. Even though I'm a devout Muslim, I like to bridge the gap between all the people, whether they be Jewish, Muslim, Christian, even atheists, you know, for dialogue. Dialogue is good. But when you shut the door, as like AIPAC does, and wants to shut everybody's mouth with the slightest bit of criticism towards Israel, that, in essence, is the true meaning of fascism. I mean,
right.
You cannot even say anything against the policies of Israel. They never talk about the peace movement in Israel. They never talk about that, and that draws tens of thousands
right.
of people out on demonstrations. It's almost like the right wing in Israel and the right wing in the United States have adjoined to cut off the civil liberties of those two nations. America is great in so many ways. I just can't see where they, you know, like the average working guy who voted Republican, not once, but maybe twice, doesn't he know that these guys are coming for him too?
Right, right. Absolutely, yep.
You know, I would just say that I'm encouraged still by, I call it the coastlines down in the United States, on the East Coast and on the West Coast, which really is the vibrant part of that country, not to put down the middle part of the country. But when it comes to the issue of Israel, it's too touchy. People are too touchy. They think that when you bring it up that you're going to criticize all Jews, or that is absolutely not the case.
It's always tricky because and I always try and make the distinction. No, I'm criticizing the Likud party in Israel, which
exactly.
is very much like I can criticize George Bush and not be anti-American, and I can criticize Netanyahu and the Likuds and not be an anti-Semite.
Exactly.
Right.
And you know what? I can, if I'm a Semite myself, but because I'm of Middle Eastern descent, so they can't call me an anti-Semite, but they could also call me, you know, terrorist thinking or whatever. I mean, which is absolutely ridiculous. I'm just saying, open up the dialogue, and it's not a coincidence that Bill Kristol, Douglas Feith, Krauthammer, all these guys just happen to be Zionists. They are Zionists, and there are many prominent and wonderful Jewish intellectuals that are actually blacklisted from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful people who just want an even fair hand and call for you know, that's all I want to say, and I really appreciate the time. I thank you very much.
Thanks, Fazl. Thanks for your insight. I think it's not enough people get to hear a Muslim perspective on any of your waves in this
country. I got to tell you, as a Muslim, I feel a lot better when left wing thinking people are in power than right wing, because left wing, it's more of an open society where everyone is free to go worship in the house that they believe, and just keep your nose out of everybody else's business, except the business of running that particular nation. I thank you, and we'll talk again.
Thanks, Faisal. I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Let's go to Jim in East Hampton, Long Island. Jimbo, how you doing tonight?
How you doing?
All right.
I was just, after listening to that, it occurred to me that the reality-based media that doesn't exist, or doesn't exist except for you guys, is pretty much the key to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the lack of information, or I guess particularly the disinformation that we're constantly bombarded with, is the reason you can't have a discussion about anything with anybody.
Right. It's hard to have an intelligent, well-informed discussion because people are quick to grab buzzwords, and there's a lot of deliberate misinformation being put out there specifically the Fox Noise Channel.
It tends to
set the tone of the dialogue.
Yeah, it's everybody. It's everywhere you look in the mainstream media, and that's why Air America and Nova M and all the liberal talkers, they all sound insane.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're literally the only ones driving in that lane.
Right.
Everybody else is going in the other direction. So, I mean, just a quick thing on the 9/11 conspiracy deniers.
Mm-hmm.
The way I've been dealing with it is I have now got it down to two words. All I say is, heat rises.
Right.
And I just sit there and stare at them. And when they begin to realize that where the building was on fire, and I was about a mile and a half away that whole morning because we had a little business in Brooklyn looking out over the water, watching the smoke go up.
Mm-hmm. Right. Heat rises. How did the bottom melt if the planes hit on the 88th or 100th floor? Right. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And I got that from Loose Change when they show you all those other buildings.
Right, right.
That just sat there and burned. And if you were above the flame, you got a big problem.
Right.
But if you were below the flame, all right, so you went downstairs and left.
Yep.
But
sums it up pretty quickly, huh? Nobody can argue with the heat rises.
Right. That's it. And you're finished.
Yep. Wow.
The other thing I wanted to mention quickly, I became a founder of the Novem thing.
Thank you.
And it occurred to me that it is the only way that the liberal media, and I just really what I want to call it is reality-based media,
mm-hmm.
can get up and running is to not have to depend on corporate advertising to survive.
Right.
And I understand the subscriptions and everything, but what occurs to me is if the liberals that have a few dollars would ever step up, I mean, I think they should have something like Found a Friend in Nova-M,
mm-hmm.
so that somebody who can afford $500 a year could buy three or four subscriptions for other people
right.
that can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you never get one guy that owns, you know, that founded 90% of it. And you end up in the same ballpark with the Rupert Murdochs of the world that we always end up in.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that's an excellent idea. We're all in favor for people bundling, as they call it in political.
I tried it already. I uh-huh. emailed that I wanted to do that for, like, some of Mike's buddies, like mm-hmm. The Sarge and, you know, some of the callers that we all enjoy that
right.
we know don't have $5. And they said they were going to work on something like that, but I'm eager to see it happen fast.
All right. Well, I'm looking at one of the webmasters right now. So
I would call in and hawk every night. I'll yell at everybody else who has a few dollars.
Right.
Come on, let's get rolling here.
Yep.
And let's make these other faithful listeners, founding members, even if they don't have the money, they should be part of it.
Right.
I think it would be a great thing.
I appreciate that sentiment, Jim. I really appreciate it. And thanks for your
Excellent.
Call tonight.
All right. Thanks.
Heat rises, folks. You heard it here first. If you're arguing with somebody about 9/11, point out heat rises. Explain how that. Hey, let's go to Terry here in Phoenix. Terry, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Say, people are complaining about what Bush is doing and are upset that the Congress won't seem to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's an old saying. And I'm going to quote it. It says, if the people will lead, the leaders will eventually follow.
Right.
And what we need is a national general strike until the money is cut off by the Democrats in Congress, or Bush is impeached, or both. And not that it will be easy.
Mm-hmm.
It will be hard. But the point is, the people can do something if the Democrats in Congress will not. And if people really want to end this fiasco in Iraq, the quickest way they can do it, if the Democratic leadership will not, is the people join in a national general strike until the money is cut off,
mm-hmm.
or Bush is impeached, or both. And what we need is, instead of peace marches, which don't accomplish anything, we need those people who organize peace marches to organize a national general strike.
Yeah,
and throughout history, if one looks at it, that's what kicks in the rotten door.
Right,
I mean, you've got Republicans now cutting off their W stickers on their car. And by the way, to the people out there who organize peace marches, you've got where the majority now. There's a lot of people who are not savvy activists who would like to join peace marches who used to be on the other side. And I would tell the organizers that you're going to have to do more of an outreach program, because the usual stuff of networking won't work with these people, and you can get a much larger crowd. The last peace rally I attended, there were people who pulled up, didn't even know about it, just saw the crowd and saw the sign.
Right.
So that the message has got to get out. But like I say, there's no need to complain. There's no or moan. What we need is action, and the quickest, easiest way to get action is a national general strike.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate that. We'll get that word out there, folks. Calling for a strike, I guess it's, you know, easier to stay home, get people to just stay home than it might be to get them to meet on a certain corner somewhere. That's certainly an idea worth discussing among my activist friends. I'll throw it out there. That's Terry's idea, a general national strike. How do we organize one? We'll be right back after these messages.
Here they got the range and the machinery for change, and it's here they got the spiritual thirst. It's here the family's broken, and it's here the lonely say that the heart has got to open in a fundamental way. Democracy is coming to the USA.
Hey, we're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show. My God, is it almost 10 o'clock already? Can you believe how fast that time goes? My goodness. Hey, I just got one short segment here. I got a few callers. I want to ask everybody, try and keep your comments as brief and to the point as possible so I can get to everybody. First up is Alex in Scottsdale. Alex, welcome on board.
Oh, good afternoon. Good evening. That came out perfectly, didn't it?
You sounded like me there for a minute.
You sound like who?
Like me.
Oh, okay.
I never know what time of day it is when I'm in this booth. So.
Well, I hear you. My biggest thing was I was reading the news today, and I'm dismayed that we've got these vigilantes running around messing with the immigrants. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to start a big dust storm, but, I mean, what kind of a mentality takes to go and do that to somebody that's trying to change their life and come across, and they're trying to go out and play G.O.D.
Yeah. Somebody got shot down outside of Tucson just this week. Three guys were shot by a group of armed gunmen, three Mexican nationals. Yeah.
And then there were those guys last week, too, that killed the other individual down there south of Tucson.
And our legislature wants to arm these people, wants to make them legit, wants to deputize regular citizens. So it's pretty frightening stuff.
I mean, people have to go through a psychological background. I know back in the 80s, I went through a test out of 6,500 people. I was number 55, but I went through some stringent testing.
Yep.
You know, and that was for a state police situation.
Yeah, exactly. Any kind of police or military training, there's a certain code of ethics. There's a hierarchy. You have to answer to people. You're not just out there on your own with a gun taking justice into your own hands. Alex, I'm sorry I don't have more time to talk with you this morning, buddy.
The last thing I wanted to leave with, sure, if you can still catch it, is this guy Glenn Beck is a lunatic.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
I mean, I've happened to catch him a couple times only by force coming to the bank and is playing on that other network.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, I mean, he is just out there.
Yeah, he's pretty. And it's amazing he's getting a lot of mainstream attention. Thanks a lot, Alex. I'll talk to you. Call me tomorrow, man.
I will.
All right, talk to you later. It's Bill in Sacramento. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Great program. I like the idea that you take more calls. You got a lot of knowledgeable people out there, and we need to get the word out.
Absolutely.
this thing that's been going on for them trying to frame Iran, everybody knows that Iran doesn't have the high-powered types of equipment that produce the kinds of nuclear weapons, and yet they're trying to make people think that they're right on the verge of having a bomb.
Right.
And they're now trying to go into the fact that they're finding serialized equipment. Some of that stuff I don't even believe. They may even be shooting down our own helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
But Iran has a contract with this particular government. They signed a treaty with them for mutual defense for the whole region. This happened back about 3 months ago. So even if there was equipment there, they have a legitimate right to conduct business with the established government.
Right. And most of the weaponry used throughout the world has a U.S. stamp on it. It was made in this country. So
they might have originally sent it to Iran,
right.
But maybe it got traded to someone else.
Right, yeah.
But back to this thing about the executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
Someone mentioned that he actually had the power to fly over, you know, Posse Comitatus and all that.
Right.
And he may have, but I've been checking back, and most of these executive orders flow from an executive order 11615, which was and a proclamation number 4074, which was put. put out by Nixon. He says, I hereby declare a national emergency, establishing the economic crisis, and that national emergency order has not been rescinded. And that's the first thing that Bush says on his order of 133-03, where he protects all these armies, you know, these private armies.
Right,
he protects
right.
them all. He protects the oil industry. And that's the way he starts his off. And now I look back on the website, he started to modify them to include others.
Right.
And we know FEMA under Joe Albaugh got converted so that they've been building prisons and
yep, Halliburton has contracts to build these. You know, supposedly it was for the bird flu back when
right.
they were first doing it. That was their justification. So, they were quarantine camps, they
right.
were calling them. Yeah.
So my main concern is that since this stuff looks like they're going to try to do it regardless of what the American public seems to want, the first things we need to have everybody doing is calling their congresspeople and senators, telling them to undo the couple of laws that make us weak,
mm-hmm.
like Posse Comitatus and
right.
the Patriot Act, because if we don't have any rights, once he invokes executive orders and takes it over and says there's a crisis, the Congress can't even intervene
right.
for 6 months.
Well, I'm pretty sure Christopher Dodd from Connecticut was introducing legislation to roll back the Military Commissions Act, and that's the one that took away habeas corpus and posse comitatus and
uh-huh.
all that stuff. It hasn't been debated or brought to the floor yet, but I know there is a bill that
right.
he is working on.
Right, because the people will be powerless
right.
to withstand this onslaught of our government.
Yep, if you're fighting
right.
fascists, you better get him early. Bill, I got to let you go. I'm going to try and get in one more call. Mary in Salt Lake City. Mary, welcome to the program. Can you make it quick?
Yeah, I'm a truck driver, and I totally agree with the two callers back
mm-hmm.
about bringing the country to a stop.
All right.
There's no better way of doing it than with trucks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. We get a lot of truckers listening to the Malloy Show out on Sirius Radio, so wow.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I got to do this for you. But anyway, I'm all for that, and if we could get that across to these drivers out here, a lot of them are Republican, and I think some of them are becoming disillusioned.
Mm-hmm.
These buildings going down in New York, or wherever it was in New York, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is impossible.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, Mary, thanks a lot for your call. I'm sadly, I'm out of time, but thanks for listening.
That's
and
all
thanks
right.
for calling. You drive safe out there, all right?
Hey, when is this thing in Phoenix?
It's February 23rd through 25th.
I'm going to try and be there.
Say hello to me if you do. Thanks, Mary.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, I want to thank Billy. Everything you heard came through his nimble fingers tonight. Thank Kim for working the phones. Thanks to all of you who called and participated in the program. I'll be back here for Malloy next Friday night. Check out the Truth to Power Hour. That's my show every Saturday from 2 to 5 Arizona time on the Nova M stream, folks. I'll see you tomorrow.